friends, this is Christine Hoover from GraceCoversMe.com, and I want to welcome you to the By Faith podcast, where each week this season, I'm talking with a guest about the ins and outs of friendship. As I wrote about in my book, Messy, Beautiful Friendship, friendship isn't easy for anyone. It takes time, intentionality, and lots of grace. And sometimes we have to navigate complexities and hurts in friendship that leave us uncertain and sometimes crushed. I'm right there with you, and my guests are here to help us think through it all. Last summer, I did a short series for Pastor's Wives, and in one of the episodes, I chatted with Katie Orr about friendship for the pastor's wife. This is a topic we pastor's wives just can't get enough of, because although friendship for women is tough for just about everyone, there is a layer of complexity for pastor's wives when it comes to relationships within the church. So we're going to tackle this topic again in this season on friendship. Today, I've invited Christy Onyebuile to join me to talk about friendship for the pastor's wife from her perspective. Christy is married to Thabiti, who is the pastor of a church they planted together in Washington, D.C. a few years ago. Christy takes the baton from Katie, whose episode I'll link to in the show notes, by the way, and helps us think through various facets of friendship. If you're not a pastor's wife, I hope you'll listen. I think it's always helpful to try to step into another's shoes and develop some empathy for that person's situation. Listening to Christy will definitely help you love your pastor's wife better. Before we get to the episode, I want to remind you that I'll be closing out this season in December with an Ask Me Anything episode on all things friendship. My longtime friend Joe will be joining me to tackle your questions. You can submit your questions at the link in my show notes, or just come find me on Instagram at ChristineHoover98 and message me what's on your mind. I look forward to hearing from you. Okay, friends, let's get to the show. Here is my conversation with Christy Onyebuile on friendship for the pastor's wife. I am so privileged to get to chat today with Christy Onyebuile. I hope I said that right. That's how I say it in my mind.
That was perfect. Very good. You get an A+.
Okay. It's funny how you say things in your mind so much that you think, is that right? Or is that just the way I say it?
That's perfect. Yeah.
Well, Christy is married to Thabiti, and he is a pastor in Southeast DC. Y'all moved there a few years ago to plant a church, right, Christy?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So our church is in an area called Anacostia, and that's where we meet.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about your family.
Yeah. So, Thabiti's my husband. We've been married, going on 26 years now. And, we have three children. Afia just turned 19 yesterday. Yeah. She's finishing up her freshman year in college. Eden is headed, to college. She's graduating this year. She's 17. And then Titus is my 10-year-old, and he's all things soccer and baseball and boy.
So you're at games and practice all the time?
All the time. And now he's discovered he's able to play two sports. So he did double soccer last season, and now he's doing soccer and baseball this season. So we're fairly busy. with that. Yeah.
So how are you feeling with the second one going off to college?
A little sad. Yeah. I think naturally, my first daughter, Afia, she was just so ready and very independent. So I was more excited for her to go, and she's close to home. She's at University of Maryland. So it's like less than 30 minutes away. So with her, I didn't feel so sad. With Eden, she's going out of state and, you know, she's my second girl, you know, so I'll be alone with the guy once she leaves. And that's making me a little sad. Like the house is feeling like it's getting really empty. So
I can imagine. Yeah,
but I'm excited for her, but I'm also like, oh no, how, you know, I feel like I'm going to be lonely when she leaves because, you know, the guys are doing their thing.
So yeah.
Life is busy. I know that's not the case, but that's how I feel when I think about her leaving.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad to get to talk to you today because we're going to talk about friendship for the pastor's wife
And yeah. I, as a pastor's wife myself, I get a lot of questions from other pastor's wives about friendship. I think this is the one area that pastor's wives really struggle in, and they are navigating, trying to navigate, and a lot of social relationships that they don't always know. I don't always know how to navigate. And to me, this is the one area that I feel like I'm constantly reevaluating and adjusting and changing. And even as my kids get older, that requires more adjustment. So I am so glad to get to ask you, someone who's had a lot more experience. I just can't wait to get wisdom from you. So I would love to hear from you. Has that been something that's difficult for you, navigating friendship as a pastor's wife?
Yeah. First of all, thank you so much for writing your book, because it is an area where lots of pastors' wives, I think women in general, just struggle with friendships. And I think especially so for pastors' wives. Has it been difficult? I think the answer is yes. However, I feel like the Lord has shown me a lot of grace in helping me to navigate and to figure out how to, just how the world of friendships work in ministry. And I feel like friendship has been hard for me from even before I was a Christian. So I just remember, even in college, and my husband can attest to this, just it being a painful time in terms of finding and keeping, you know, steady friendships. So I had friendships, but there always seemed to be kind of this void in certain areas of my life. So maybe there were people that I could just hang out with, you know, go to the mall, you know, watch movies, that sort of thing with. But then there would be this void of having someone to share my life with intimately, or there would be hurts along the way and not knowing how to repair those and restore friendships and that kind of thing. So I think over the years, there have been just various areas where I've struggled.
Why do you think it's especially complex or difficult for the pastor's wife?
Well, I think there's a pressure. Maybe there's this pressure for pastors' wives to kind of know everyone, you know? And so because in most churches, pretty much everybody knows the pastor and the pastor's wife and their family. I think maybe sometimes the pastor's wife puts a pressure on herself to kind of know everyone. That's my tendency, mostly because I'm an extrovert and I just want to know everyone and I feel like I should. And I get really upset when there are people, you know, who I haven't met yet, or, you know, they've been coming to the church for 6 months and, you know, this is the first time I'm meeting them ever. You know, it just bothers me, you know, when I don't know everyone. So I think there's that pressure. And then sometimes it's from the pastor's wife herself. Sometimes it's outside pressure in terms of an expectation that she should know certain things about people's lives. And I think another real, so I think those are kind of the major ones. It's just pressure to know everyone. But then I think another difficulty, especially for pastor's wives, is finding that ministry and marriage confidant, somebody you feel safe with, who you can share if Thabiti and I are having issues and I need to speak with someone. I work hard. I won't use the word struggle. I'll say I work hard to find another woman, may or may not be a pastor's wife, but another woman who I can share my kind of marriage, family issues, that person who feels safe to me, who, even if she is a member of the church, I feel like whatever I share with her, she's able to counsel me and give me wisdom in that, but also respect my husband as her pastor, like not holding whatever struggles we might be having against him in terms of him being able to shepherd her, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then also the confidant, just kind of a ministry confidant, someone who, if there are particular areas of ministry, I feel like I would love to have prayer. I'd like to get counsel, but it's not something that that needs to be shared broadly in the church. I just need somebody to ask this question or someone who can pray about this issue. So I think those are kind of the major difficulties for pastors' wives, is finding those kinds of people to share their lives with.
So how have you done that? Because I think we want that, and a lot of women want that. But when they hear you talk about a safe person or sharing certain things, how do you dip your toe in that water, so to speak, of just almost testing a relationship? I don't mean testing to see if they're going to meet your expectation, but how do you know when you have found that, and how do you take that relationship to a point where you can share? Do you just do it and see what happens, or?
Yes, that's a very good question. I mean, I can just share how it's worked out in my life personally. I wouldn't say it's like a general principle, but how it's worked out in my life is, so for example, I have one woman in particular who's a good friend, and I can pretty much share anything with her regarding our marriage, regarding ministry, regarding pretty much anything. And that's a gift from the Lord. And I feel just really privileged to have her in my life, because I don't think it's necessarily the norm for a lot of pastors' wives. But with her, our friendship has developed over a number of years. I think we've been friends probably 10 years or more. Yeah, 10 going on 15 years maybe. So our friendship has developed over a number of years. And in that time, we've shared just life together over those years, and have developed just kind of a closeness and an intimacy in general. So then when it came to my husband becoming an elder and then a pastor, it was a lot easier to kind of dip my toe in that water, because there was already this safety net built because we'd had this relationship for such a long time. So, and I think if I think of other women who feel safe to me like that, that's been the general pattern. These are people that I have lived life with for a long time. I have another friend. We've been friends probably 25 years maybe. Wow. And it's the same kind of thing where we've just had this friendship over a long time that has grown sweeter and deeper and safe. And, you know, these are the women that I feel like I can really share my life with. So one friend, she's far off. We don't really talk that much, but we're very close. Another friend, she's in the church with me, so I have easy access to her, you know, when I'm having a particular difficulty. So that's one thing, I think, just developing deep friendships with women. And the answer to the question of, well, how do you do that, right? Like, how do you even, you know, kind of get this person that you felt, you know, have this friend that you even can have deep, close, intimate relationship with? I think first is just being vulnerable myself. Like, I have to tell myself that I need to be the first one to be vulnerable in the relationship. And I think, again, because of maybe stereotype or because of expectations, you know, people can feel like, oh, you're the pastor's wife, you don't have any problems. And, you know, and I can't tell you how many times I've open myself up and been the first one to be vulnerable in a relationship. And women have said things like, gosh, I didn't even know you struggled like that. You know, I didn't know you struggled with prayer. I didn't know you struggled with your quiet time. I didn't know you, you know, struggled with raising your children, or, you know, figuring out what to cook for meals on a daily basis, you know, just all kinds of things people have built up in their minds about, you know, who the pastor's wife is and what her life is like. And when I'm the first one to be vulnerable, I think it helps my friend to also feel like, okay, well, you know, she shared a little bit about her life. I can, you know, I can do the same. So I think being the first to be vulnerable, and then just continuing to share your life and not be afraid and take the lumps that come with doing that. Sometimes you're going to get burnt, and you're going to have people that you think you're friends with, and then you realize they have an agenda, you know, and maybe it's an agenda with you. Maybe it's an agenda with your husband. They're trying to get something. So you'll figure that out along the way and take those lumps. But it's worth it to push through it, not in a sense of, well, that means I can't share my life because, you know, people are going to abuse our relationship. Yes, that's going to happen. But by and large, once pushing past that, you're going to find women who you can be intimate with and develop close friendships with.
That's great. Good advice. Well, what happens for you when that has, when you, as you put it, you take your lumps and somebody hurts you, How have you, that's, I think that happens to everybody, no matter if you're the pastor's wife or not. But I think for the pastor's wife, that can be especially difficult because you, there are many of those situations you can't really speak to it, or you don't have a way of kind of, I guess, confronting that. Sometimes it may be something that your husband is dealing with and you can't really, you just kind of have to work through it on your own. And so how have you continued to engage friendships and women when you have felt deeply hurt and where it makes you a little bit paranoid and kind of go in on yourself a little bit and want to isolate yourself?
Yeah. It depends on what the hurt is, actually. I think if it's a personal hurt, I'm more likely to address it with the individual and just say, hey, this was hurtful to me. These are the ways that it hurt. I love you. You're my sister. You know, we're going to be okay, but I just want you to know that this is how this situation or what you said or something affected me. Mm-hmm. So if it's a personal hurt, I'm more likely to address it. I know that's not easy and that's not a inclination necessarily for everyone, but I think it's healthy because you're confronting issues and not allowing them to build up, but still letting your sister know, I love you. And we'll get past it. If it's kind of, I'll just call it agenda setting, you know, someone trying to get something, then I feel like I'm more likely, that's the person I'm more likely to withdraw from because I, you know, there's the trust issue there, right? So I think that would be my tendency. I'm not saying it's right to withdraw, but I do think the general principle, whether it's a personal or kind of a ministry type of hurt, is to remember that we're called to love one another. We're family. I have to remember who this person is in my life, right? She's my sister. She's family with me in the body of Christ. My call in terms of my relationship with her doesn't change based on what she has done or against me or anything like that. My call in terms of how I interact with her and how I care for her is the same. I'm called to love her. I'm called to encourage her. I'm called to all the one another's in scripture, you know, I'm called to speak with her in gracious and loving ways, and I'm called to serve her. So I think in terms of how we interact, you know, God's word doesn't change in terms of how we care for one another as family. And that's what I have to remind myself to do, even in the midst of kind of in the kind of hurt. If there's something to address, I think definitely it's healthy to address it with that individual, but always leaving the situation, encouraging one another in the word, in prayer, in love, and in commitment to one another as family. And I've had some of those kinds of hurts recently. And so it's not an easy thing to do, but it's sweet. It's super sweet when I can sit in front of my sister who, at the end of the day, we still may disagree on some things, but we're committed to loving one another and to serving together and to praying for one another. And it's hard, but it's definitely sweet to see the fruit of it and to see the Lord preserve relationships in the midst of difference or difficulty.
Absolutely. That's wonderful that you are able to do that. Cause I think we're so afraid of conflict and also I think we have this idea of friendship that it's going to be easy, that there should not ever be conflict. There should not be ever offense taken or a need to forgive or to ask for forgiveness. And I think that hinders our relationships because when it happens, cause it always does, we think, oh, well, then that person may not be a good friend. I'm just going to walk away from that. Rather than doing what you said of engaging the process of, hey, this hurt me, or somebody coming to us and saying we hurt them and being willing to receive that and work through it. And that's where sweet friendship really is cultivated. It's being willing to overlook offense and to not have these perfect expectations of others. And, so I love that. And I love also you are using that word sister even now. And the first time I ever met you, I've only got to meet you once in person, but I heard you throwing around that word like crazy to all these women around you, sister, sister. Mm-hmm. And even you said that to me, and I had never met you in person, and just so encouraging the way I could just see in the way you interacted with people that you view people as truly as your family in Christ. Mm-hmm. I love that. And I think it seems like that is your heartbeat is to really view women that way and invest in them that way. Especially with younger women. I got to meet Corey Porter recently.
Yes.
She came and did a word-filled women's ministry conference at our church. And so she said she had just come from your house.
Yeah.
And I love, it seems like you really have a heart for investing yourself into younger women. And that kind of that older sister, younger sister kind of thing. Yeah. And so, do you think that also can be a way, an avenue for friendship that we overlook? Yeah. Or how have you cultivated that?
Yeah. On the sister bit. So again, this, I feel like it kind of came initially from a place of hurt where I had a really good friend and we, you know, been, you know, just good friends for a while. And then we discovered we had major doctrinal differences, just differences in how we understood and viewed scripture and the church. And she's a believer, a strong believer in the Lord. She loves him. She, as a matter of fact, she's one of the most bold witnesses for Christ that I know. But we just have major differences in terms of some doctrinal things. And I remember that relationship being estranged for a while. Because, you know, I didn't handle those differences well, and I was very heavy-handed and unloving and unkind in the way that we engaged those differences. And so that relationship was estranged for a while. And then the Lord, in his kindness, brought us back together. And she is the one who everybody assists. Hey, sis, I love you, sis. You know, what's going on, sis? And she's just, if you meet her, she is just the sweetest lady and loving sister that you'll ever meet. And so she and I and our little friendship group each other that way. And I think part of it is cultural too. It's kind of a cultural thing. Hey, sis, or certain people in your family, your community is, you know, Sister Christy or Sister, you know, Betty or something like that. So maybe it came from that, but I think with her in particular, it was good to remind myself over and over, even in this casual way, hey, sis, you're my sister, you know, and I love you. And so for me, using that term, it is casual in one sense, but it's also a constant reminder. This is my sister. And it helps me to be really free and relaxed and loving towards people. And so anyway,
it felt loving to me. Just the first time I ever met you, to say, when you said, hey, sister, and you even said an encouraging word to me. And I just felt very, it did. It created a sense of relationship right away. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good to think about as a pastor's wife, even in our churches.
Yeah.
Just really loving people. Yeah. Well, I always say I can honor everyone and love everyone. I can't be friends with everyone, but I can show love and value to everyone. And the way that we speak to people is a great opportunity. So,
So your question was about developing those
mentoring,
older sister, younger sister, discipling relationships. Yeah. So what was the specific question? Like how?
Well, do you think that is an avenue for friendship as well? You know, sometimes I think I have had categories of, well, my friend is going to be a specific, I have this idea in mind of who they're going to be. And I have overlooked that discipleship friendship of, it doesn't always develop into friendship, but some of my greatest friendships have come out of a mentoring.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just have a hard time separating the two just because of the nature of discipleship. I feel like if discipleship is done, I'm saying well, not saying that if people don't do it this way, it's not good. I'm just saying, I feel like if discipleship is going to have its fullest effect, in our lives, you're going to have this sense, you're going to have this intimacy, you're going to be sharing your life, you're going to be sharing sin and struggles and, you know, all kinds of things. And there's a deep intimacy that develops for me in discipleship, where it's not just about reading a book or studying the Bible, it's sharing our lives together. So I have a hard time distinguishing, I have a hard time not calling that friendship, even though it's a particular kind of friendship, right? Because I'm making myself vulnerable and we're sharing our lives together and intimate in that way. So I think it's part and parcel of discipleship done well, right? Is sharing your life in that way. And that's a kind of friendship. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be the same kind of friendship as, you know, my friend that I was telling you about, who I'm going to share, you know, marriage difficulty or deep ministry kinds of issues and things like that. So there are going to be categories, I think, even within that. But I feel like discipleship is a really sweet and consistent way to have people in to speak into your life as a pastor's wife and to make yourself vulnerable and to be prayed with and for and to be held accountable, all the things that we need as pastor's wives and sometimes struggle with. I feel like discipleship is just an easy way to have some of those needs met in the body. And to me, if that's a kind of friendship, just, you know, maybe it's the way I'm thinking of friendship, because, hey, I'm supposed to know everybody, you know, my extrovert side kicks in. Like, no, if we meet, we're friends. That's my mom is like,
right.
She's like a super extreme extrovert. And if, you know, if you meet my mom one time, you're just like Facebook friends forever. She's sending you birthday cards. I mean, she's coming to visit you. And I'm like, you know, asking my mom, where are you going? And she's like, oh, you know, Crystal and I are going to hang out. I'm like, Crystal's my friend. Like, how did she become your friend? You only met her once, you know? So part of me is just like, it's probably handed down from my mama. I don't know. But
that's great. I love that.
But I have a hard time. I'm just saying I have a hard time distinguishing, because I feel like discipleship is a kind of friendship, mm-hmm. not the same kind that you would have, you know, maybe for deeper kinds of accountability or yeah. Ministry concerns. But it's a way to stay connected to the body, and it's a way to have, you know, your spiritual life enriched in the body. Yeah.
Well, Christy, last question. As you get to talk to maybe any pastor's wives, but I'm thinking younger pastor's wives that you get to interact with, like, what are the main few things that you often say mm-hmm. to women?
I think some of the things I've already said: be the first to be vulnerable. Let people know that you're just a regular person with the same kinds of struggles and issues that almost every woman has. And I think there's kind of, and it's sort of related to the previous question, there's, I don't know if you call them circles or categories. So get to know people generally, just as a member of the body of Christ who wants to love and care for family, right? So get to know people generally, get to know some people intimately as you share your life through accountability and discipleship, those kinds of things. I think for pastor's wife, you have to, friendships take more time and effort than probably most, because you have expectations and other people have expectations, and you're trying to weed through those as you figure out who to spend time with. So it is a bit more complicated, but doesn't change in terms of our call. So know people generally, get to know some people intimately, again, through discipleship and accountability and those kinds of things. And then pray. I think that's actually primary. I remember many, many years praying for friendships, praying for people I could share my life with. I was telling you earlier how we lived in various parts of the DC area. So we were up in Silver Spring when we first came to DC. And I remember thinking, man, I'm leaving all my family and friends back in North Carolina. You know, how am I going to replace these friendships that have been so sweet and special? And I prayed for a friendship when we moved to Silver Spring. Would you know that the Lord brought a young lady, like, we lived in kind of this piggyback townhouse thing. And he brought a young lady who we had so many connections with. We didn't know each other, but we had so many common friends and connections. And she just became a sweet neighbor and friend. We both moved away, and we're still pretty good friends. So praying for friendships, and then watching the Lord work and see who He brings into your life, and being willing to open yourself to them. And then also, I think it's important for pastors' wives to know there's certain things that you're only going to share with the Lord, and that's okay. And not to feel like, you know, that, okay, I've shared this issue or this concern or this part of my life with the Lord, and that's not enough. It is enough. And if Christ is your friend, and He is, and if Christ is your counselor, and He is, then we have what we need to navigate this world of ministry and marriage and motherhood and all those kinds of things. So embrace Christ as your friend, first and foremost, pray for friendships, and then look for those categories of friends who can build into your life and make you a healthy, well-rounded Christian who loves the body and serves the body with joy. So those are a few things.
That's so great, Christy. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your wisdom. Yeah. And I appreciate you and your ministry. I'm really encouraged by getting to talk with you today. So,
likewise. The Lord bless you as well. It's been fun to hang out with you.
Join me every Wednesday, the day after By Faith releases, on my Instagram stories, where I answer questions from this week's episode. What do you want to know or to talk about after listening to my conversation with Christy? You can find me on Instagram at ChristineHoover98, and let's chat. Join me next week as I talk with Drew Hunter, who is a pastor in Indiana and the author of a new book called Made for Friendship. We're going to talk about men and friendship and how we can encourage the men in our lives to make friendship a priority. We also talk about friendship for the pastor, which I think you'll find interesting. Friends, thank you for listening. Meet me back here next week, and until then, keep walking forward by faith.